I'm Frank Vaughn. It's September 19th, 2024, and in this video I want to talk about an epiphany that I had recently when I was reviewing footage of the opening ceremony of the Olympics, where a display of sacrilege was put on for the entire world under the thinly veiled disguise of being a mockery of the Feast of Dionysus, when we all know that what they were mocking was the Last Supper. But before I get into that epiphany, I want to say that this video is addressed to people who have questions around faith or have no faith at all. I am of the latter category. I have questions surrounding my faith. When I go to bed, I usually don't discuss this. I'm going to discuss it once and then I'm going to leave it alone. Maybe. Who knows? Life is long. When I go to bed at night, I recite the Lord's Prayer in my head. Every night. I haven't missed for more years than I can count. When I think of actions that I'm taking, I frame those actions in a moral code that I have derived largely from bits of things that I've taken out of the New Testament. When I encounter Christians, full-bodied Christians, or anybody of faith, the last thing I want to do is take that away from them, because I can't arrive at the certainty that they have about specific details. I have seen in my life sufficient that there is something working beyond me that I can't explain. I don't even know if I need to explain it. It's a private relationship. In Matthew 6:5, and this is the only Bible verse I'm going to read for those of you who are already wanting to tune out, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And this is my justification when I get before the pearly gates and I'm criticized for not going to church and a number of other religious duties that I have not paid heed to in my life. I'm going to cite this chapter and hopefully it gets me through the gates. But what I realized is that the questions that I have are not important. What's important is the other side, the people who revile Christianity, revile Islam, revile the God of Abraham, or any God that's out there. The people who would put on a display of perversion like what we saw at the Olympics. They believe in God more than some people who call themselves Christians. Let me say that again. They believe in God more than some people who call themselves Christians. They have enough faith that they absolutely hate the Lord. And they will do anything they can to mock him, to demean him, and to demean the people who find solace in their religion. Now, myself, there was a time in my life, truth be told, in particular, it was Jehovah's Witnesses that came to the house. And rather than reject them, I would invite them in. We would make tea. Usually happened once a week. Sometimes they skipped a week, and this went on for months. And at first it was one, then it was two, and then I had a whole carload that would come, and I'd make them all tea, and I would sit down using their version of the Bible and using their pamphlets, and I would debate them. And I sowed a lot of doubt in their minds about their organization and about their faith in the self-admitted goal of converting one of them. To what? I don't know. I just wanted to, and this was a long time ago. It was just after my father died and during the lead up to his death. I wanted to expose their faith to the light of day and challenge it. And I did, and I was effective. I almost broke one man. I recall him at the table muttering prayer, bowing his head, and he couldn't even look at me. And I was literally knelt on the floor holding his hand saying, "Mate, can you not see that your organization is just a product of the earth?" And I'm ashamed of that to this day. One of the reasons I don't go to church and I am very quiet when people are talking about their faith, is I do not want to undermine their certainty. If a Christian draws solace from their religion and their faith, who am I to take that away? Because I don't have the certainty that they do. I don't have that strength of faith the way that they do. I have something, but it is mine and it is personal, just as theirs is. But I do know that the forces arrayed against spirituality, against faith, believe so hard in it that they'll do everything in their power to destroy it. And I can tell you that I don't want to be on their side. I don't want to be on the side of people who provide legal coverage for pedophiles. I don't want to be on the side of people who just think life is nothing more than sodomy and hedonism. I don't want to be on the side of people who think you can corrupt little children into believing that the body they were born in isn't good enough for their life, that they can pursue hormone so-called therapy and mutilation, and that somehow that's going to lead to a healthy and good outcome. I don't want to be on the side of people who are just obsessed with the functions of their body and never looking at the greater and never questioning the very fabric of reality and that there might be something beyond themselves that is worthy of worship of some kind. And I think that people who do not have a solid religious foundation in their life, who do not have a firmness of faith, should consider that the other side is very firm in their conviction. They believe, and they believe with all of their being, so much so that they hate so strongly that they would spend their earthly days in pursuit of a vain goal of destroying all that is holy. And that should be enough for anybody.